Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley in Oregon in the United States, and I'm glad to greet you this time of day, and I pray that God will bless you and that you'll take into your hearts the Word of God. I would like to take you now into a beautiful piece of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is signing off the final letter to the Corinthians in the second little book of Corinthians, chapter 13. We find in verse 11 these precious words etched into the Scripture indelibly. He says, "Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the love of God and peace will be with you." Oh my, so much to draw from these little words. He says in the Authorized Version, "Brethren, farewell." He has come to the end of his writing. Farewell. It's up to you now. Every preacher comes to a place where all his vocabulary is exhausted. I remember preaching one time, and I had been preaching for an hour and, 15 or 30 minutes, something like that. I was preaching about the cross of the Lord Jesus, and suddenly I came to the place where I looked at the congregation who seemed to be mesmerized by the word. And I said to them in the most gracious way I could, "You know, we preachers run out of vocabulary, and I have just come to the end of mine. I've told you the truth, and it is a wonderful truth. And now I must say, this is the end. This is a farewell." I prayed and dismissed the congregation and walked into the vestry, or the little room beside the platform in the church in England where I was. I fell on my knees. I was in such a degree of prayer. There was a heaviness on me. I can't explain it, and I don't really understand it to this day. But after several minutes, I heard somebody saying, "Shh, shh, hey, quick." A friend of mine who was the organist and great help in all that we did in those days, he said to me, "Come and talk to this congregation." And I looked at him, befuddled, and I could hear no noise. There was nobody talking. And I wondered what he wanted me to say, and was there anybody left in the auditorium to say it to? It was packed out. I went to the platform again, and he said, "They're not moving." And so I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, some of you have to get buses and find your transportation home. If you need to leave, leave now. This would be a good time, but you're most welcome to stay and pray." And nobody moved. Now, this was a long sermon they had listened to, but nobody moved. I realized that the Holy Spirit was working in our midst in a very beautiful and sombering way. I didn't know what to say, except to know that I should not say anything. So I stood on the platform with my head bowed and in prayer. And after some 15 minutes or so, a person got up and left. And then some more time went by and some other people got up and left. And it took about an hour for that congregation to disperse. What was God doing? I do not know. Now, the apostle has written in a most straightforward manner to the church at Corinth in these two letters. And he comes to this final verse or verses, and he says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 13, "Finally, brethren, farewell. I'm going to leave now, and I want you to act upon all the things that I've written for you. I want you to do something about all the things I've said. Farewell. I've ended my vocabulary. I've come to the end of what I can say to you. I've been very blunt. I've been very open. Now, goodbye. It's time for me to leave." And the people must have been stunned by him. This was a letter being read to the church. But they must have been stunned by this farewell, this last benediction upon the Corinthian church is an enormous one. It is a summary of all that has been written in these two letters, especially the second letter. Paul has talked about the hardship to the plenty, from visions to practice, from passions to loving kindness, from sternness to stability, from glory of God to the glory of the ministry, to the glory of man, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how he finishes this letter in verse 14 of this chapter. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your life. Since you've loved the Lord Jesus Christ, now you can be called a saint of the Lord Jesus. You have fellowship in the Holy Spirit. How is that fellowship with you? Notice also that there is massive restoration. He says in this verse 9, we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Notice what he is saying, how he is putting this together. He's saying to be put into complete order. And then in this verse 9, reform yourselves. Get a reformation going. Now, if you find yourself with sin since you have become a Christian, then you need to deal with that sin. And I would say to you very kindly, not in a matter of criticism, but that we need to go back into the 12th chapter and understand the Apostle Paul speaking. For he speaks, and I take you into especially verse 10 of that chapter, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Look at that list. Just look at it. He says, when I've got infirmities, when my body isn't functioning right, when I've got infirmities. Now, I know it's a popular thing to say today that God does not want us to be sick. He does not want us to be diseased. It may be quite true, and yet there are sick and there are diseased. And the people of our fellowships are in great need because of infirmities. The word infirmity is a general term. It can mean moral and physical. It's an overall expression. But these infirmities are an awful nuisance. These infirmities come upon us. Maybe you need to walk with a walker or a walking stick. Maybe you travel in a wheelchair. Or maybe you have to park in the crippled part of the parking lot and you have to stay there. And maybe you need lots of help in all kinds of ways. My dear friend, don't worry. The Lord Jesus will supply your need according to his riches in glory. You have a need, no legs, then he'll find people to walk for you. You have need, no strength, he'll find people that will be your strength on your behalf. And so it goes on. And the wonderful things that he does, the apostle ends up by saying this. He says, you know, I've come to the place that when I'm weak, why, then I'm very strong. Very strong. Are you very strong in the Lord? Look at this verse 10 again. And let's look at this infirmity thing. When I can't function properly, my body won't work. It's okay. If I have a moral problem, talk to Jesus. It's okay. He'll fix it. When you have something physical or moral that's going on in your life that is not very congratulatory, not very nice to have, my dear friend, run to the Lord Jesus. And he, in your weakness, will show to others how strong he is in you. Look at the reproaches. People reproach us. People do this quite deliberately. They're not very careful, not very kind, not very thoughtful. In fact, the reverse. The Apostle Paul says, I've been reproached, and these reproaches have brought me to a place. please turn to the 11th chapter, and the verse is verse 5. I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Notice, if you want to read the rest of that wonderful piece of scripture, the apostle talks of his position. Now, people will reproach you. They will say, well, you haven't saved enough money. You've squandered money. You've not earned enough money. They will reproach you. People will say something like this, if you're poor. People are always poor. And those people, if you're one, are always going to be poor because they don't do anything about it. And that's not always nice. But notice, please, that the Lord Jesus will bear your reproaches. There's certain necessities. The apostle here, writing in this 10th verse, he says we have reproaches and sometimes we have needs. Needs. We have necessities. When you have a necessity, present it to the Lord. The Lord will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Here the apostle says, in a later place, he says, I want you to bring me my cloak. I want you, please, to bring me my scripts, and I want you to come to my house. Please come. Please bring these things so that I may have them. And then there are persecutions. The word here, I'm using the authorized version, in persecutions. We get persecuted. I've dealt with that in the last few programs. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I want to say to you that from without, they pressed upon the Lord Jesus and they pressed upon the Apostle Paul. Let's go back into this 11th chapter. Listen to the Apostle Paul saying about his sufferings for Christ. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more than just an ordinary minister. I've labored more abundantly. This is verse 23 of the 11th chapter. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed for ever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artius the king was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through the window in the wall and escaped from his hands. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations and so on. In other words, he is saying, look how weak I am, and look what I have suffered from without. People don't realize the demands they make upon the minister's life. They don't realize that the saint for Jesus is there to be used of God. People don't understand this piece of scripture. What about distresses? I say that misunderstandings of his teachings. Agrippa didn't understand his teachings. And talking to Felix, he says, you speak things that are hard to be understood, because Paul was always preaching, Jesus and him crucified, resurrected from the dead. Huh. No wonder people don't understand the Christian. Jesus is alive. And then he uses, if we go back into this verse 11 of chapter 13, he says, I'm one of those persons who is telling you to be filled with comfort. Be of good comfort. How terribly necessary it is to be comforted. The shepherd had lost the sheep. The sheep was caught in the thicket. The shepherd left the 99 that safely lay in the fold and went out, and he called to the sheep. When he heard the bleating of the sheep, he found the thicket. And although the thorns of the thicket that kept the sheep a prisoner, he reached through the thorns. He reached through the debris of the desert. He reached through the coolness of the night of the desert. And he lifted the sheep free and put him upon his shoulder, comforting the sheep. He comforts us. You may be in a situation right now, this very moment, where because of some situation that you have managed to get yourself into, one way or another, you need this information. And you need the information about the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus has massive power and massive ability. And if you turn just for a moment into the second chapter of the second letter to Corinthians, and the verse is 9, for to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether ye be obedient in all things. Paul was asking these people to obey what he said, because in obeying what he was saying, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ resting upon him would rest upon them. When his sufficiency was received in the heart, when his grace was all that I needed, I saw it, he says. If you read that piece of scripture, you'll see this. Wonderfully, Jesus speaks through the Apostle Paul. The weaker the people are, the more strength there seems to be from the Lord Jesus Christ. We see more conspicuous power coming from the Lord Jesus when we are weak. Now, we shouldn't go out and try to be weak, but we should recognize our weaknesses and repent of our weakness and place our weakness in front of the Lord Jesus in prayer. And the case before us is no longer valid. It just doesn't matter anymore. We need to understand that we are held by the Lord Jesus. Adverse painfulness sort of vanishes and ebbs away when we place ourselves in the hands of Jesus. Notice, will you, that it's easy in this verse 12 here, that we have truly signs of an apostle are accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds in this 12th chapter and the 12th verse. It's necessary to see how it is that God works. Men are established and extended so that the church can grow, and men are used for the growth. It's okay to work yourself to a standstill. It's okay to die in the work of the Lord Jesus. Talking to a missionary recently, he said, I am so tired of being a missionary. I'm burned up. And I had to say to him something like this, I don't agree with you. You're not burned up. I think you're tired in the work, not of the work. Lots of difference there. We can be tired in the work. My son came to me a few years ago and he said, Dad, you're exhausted. You're used up. And I had to look at him and say, I know, but I don't know what to do. I'm exhausted. I know I'm exhausted. I'm used up. I know that too. But as yet, the Lord has left me here. I have yet to fulfill what he wants me to do. So I must go on, I must press on. But he complained to me, it's time to retire, because he knows the scriptures so well. I said to him very quickly, "Show me in the scriptures where it says I can retire." There is no such thing as retiring preachers. We cannot stop. We cannot stop. We don't know how to continue, but we cannot stop. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to be almost shot to pieces. But we're like a manure, if I dare use such a word. We are in the ground of the church. And as we are ground into the ground, no pun intended, as we are digested by the ground, so the ground gives vision, and the ground gives off life, and new grass, new plants, new trees, new things happen, and they grow. And some are mighty trees, and some are the tiniest and the most beautiful idle vice that you can imagine. The violet grows beneath the oak tree. Why, the little snow buds come up, and we see them. Oh, the bluebells come, the iris come, and they're all so picturesque and beautiful. But the oak is growing taller, and the pine is growing quicker. And we see mighty things happen because a person cannot die unto himself. A person is like a seed. He dies and he falls into the ground, that he may bear fruit, much fruit. And when you despise a person that is a Christian, or when you give distress to a Christian, remember that all those distresses are not forgotten by God, because the person that is distressed may be full of tears, and the tears are caught in a bottle, and God remembers the tears of the suffering of the people. Notice he says there's a clarification necessary. Be of one mind, united in the faith, whether wooed or loved or pushed and rebuked. Be bound together. Be bound together. We need the union of the Spirit to bind us together. I don't know a place where we can find more binding than in the next expression here, where he says, be of one mind and live in peace. Here is the revitalization. Live in peace. It's so easy to have strife, and so delightful to have love with its twin, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that never fades away. Peace is the bedrock upon which love builds its house. Build your house with love, but to have that, you must have peace. No more rows, no more swearing, no more filthy thinking, no more turning to the world for the answers to the difficulties of life, but turning to Jesus and loving him, asking his power, his presence, his help. He will give it to you. He will give it to you. He never fails. The Lord Jesus loves you. Can you respond to that love today? Can you come just as you are without one plea but that his blood was shed for you? Can you come to this Jesus and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Dare you come to this Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I am not ashamed of you. There's a beautiful old hymn, Ashamed of Jesus. Soon afar let evening blush to own a star. You cannot blush for Jesus. Don't you love him? If you do, pray with me and recommit your life to him. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you that as we come with all the impedimenta of our lives, the normal stuff that accumulates in our lives, will you lift us up and will you heal us now? Will you give us that ability to just trust you with the rest of our lives, that we may serve you and that we may give only the best of what we have and the best of who we are to celebrate the ministry of your word. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our moments, take our days, Let them all be filled with ceaseless praise. Lord Jesus, we love you. We ask for your help, that we may love you more. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. See you next time. Bye-bye. God bless you.